Small Biz America. The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain believes that work is not just about getting the job done, but that the process by which it is accomplished is equally as important. Joining us here in the studio is Susan Junda. She's the president and founder of Dynamic Solutions. Her company provides consulting, training, and coaching to organizations. Susan travels nationally and internationally, working with her clients, teaching public and on-site sessions in project management and team development. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So what exactly does it mean when you say you facilitate group process?
Well, one of the skill sets I discovered that I have and I've developed over the last decade is to be with a group and help them work better together, to make it a joy to work together rather than a trial and tribulation type thing. And I realized that there's really two parts to a group's process. One is getting the work done. They have to have a way and a task-based side of the house thing to plan and organize their detailed tasks and to execute it, and project management fits very well into that. On the other side of the house is the dynamics of the team and how they work together. I mean, you know, you look at some sports teams, they have all great players, but they don't work together well. And so all these individual people come together. Some of them know each other, some of them sit together, some of them are around the planet, no less. But you've got to get them to create some camaraderie and work together, because we do work better when we have fun and like the people we're working with.
So it seems natural that you'd want to like who you're working with, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you don't have to like them all and be best friends or anything like that, but you do have to create a vision as a leader for this group that's compelling to make them want to work together and rise above the petty differences. Because you're bringing all these different people together with different skill sets, in most cases, cross-functional teams, to get a job done. And how you work together counts, and having that. Sometimes you get lost. I mean, things get crazy, things get scattered, and then you have to come back to, why are we here? What are we doing? What are we trying to accomplish? And if you can't agree on that, I mean, I worked with a team one time that was on a 10-year research project. And at year three, we got together to do a project plan for that project. And they were the highest paid brains in the company coming together to develop new products. And after 3 years, they could not tell you what their goal was. They could not agree on it. They all had their hidden agendas, what they wanted the research to come out to be, and so they never really talked.
I was going to ask, how do you unwind this stuff?
Well, you teach them how to write a goal statement, and it took them about 4 hours to do it after 3 years of, I don't want to say wasted effort, but,
yeah.
You know, of the disparate team going off in their own direction, thinking they're coordinated, maybe not caring that they're not. I don't know, but that's a lot of time and money for a company to spend working on the wrong stuff.
So do you find that there are prevalent challenges? I mean, we just pointed out one that's very prevalent that you find when you go into companies and start addressing groups.
Some companies really have good project management practices. Some of the bigger companies have universities that teach project management that are company-based. But a lot of other businesses, especially the startups, when they start growing and they start hitting 500, 800, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people, they've done it based on adrenaline. They've done it based on excitement of people rather than having good business practices. And what I see happening in some of those companies primarily is people do a good technical job. I'm a superhero. I'm a IT guru. I'm an engineering geek. I just do great. I'm a quick decision maker. And what happens is they get thrown the project. Well, next time you take these people and get this work done. And so we have what I found over the last 5 years is a lot of companies that have, what do I want to call them? They don't have a title project manager, and they're sitting in departments, but yet they're doing projects. And the first question I ask is, did you have work taken off your plate to give you time to manage, plan and manage the project? And of course, 99% of the time, it's no. And so they get overloaded, and now they have to get their work done through people rather than as an individual contributor. And then when they get people on their teams from other departments whose bosses do not buy into the project, they have to beg, borrow, and steal resources. So resources become a really big issue. What I try to teach companies from the bigger picture is that if they really want to have a good project organization, functional managers, people that manage marketing, IT, engineering, finance, and all that, have to not only manage their silo, their department, they have to think more horizontally and manage their resources and allocate them to cross-organizational projects. The world's complex. Okay, so what's happening is a lot of these projects to help a business move forward or an organization move forward crosses all lines. especially through the computers. It affects everybody. And so your teams are becoming more diverse, and functional managers are a big obstacle because they're used to thinking silo. My turf, my department, my budget.
When it comes to distinguishing between task and process, how do you deal with that? How do you approach that?
Well, there's a process on how you organize the tasks, for sure. And we do that in project management. Yeah. And, you know, I love when companies say we want to empower our teams. Well, empowering the teams means letting them plan the project and come to the stakeholders and tell them what's feasible. Versus management hiring some people to go put all the project plans into software and saying the software says to do it, how come you're not doing it?
Mm.
With no involvement, no buy-in, no communication at all.
I was going to say it really limits their creative
yes.
involvement that
right.
way.
Right, and then there's then you know I was at one company one time and I was training the senior staff and they had a big aha moment. Oh, we're doing too much work. Mm. We should let them plan the project and tell us what's feasible within our constraints of requests for time and cost. Tell us what you can do. You know, because who's the person best to estimate how long a task's going to take?
Those doing the task.
You bet. Thank you. You're so smart. Yes, those doing the task, but in a lot of, you know, and they know what's on their workplace. They have competing priorities. Let's say I have a 40-hour task to do.
Mm.
Well, if I spend full time on it for a week, I get it done in a week. If I'm only 25% allocated to that project, it's going to take me a month. Now, what's that going to affect? My project's timeline. You know, if you really have a critical project, free up your resources and dedicate them fully to that project. Well, that makes a lot of common sense, but very few people are doing that these days.
Mm.
People are spread so thin, they're just skating by, doing enough.
Let's talk about creativity a little bit. You've mentioned that that a company needs to create an environment that feels creative, right brain oriented for mm-hmm. those that are working on projects and managing these silos. How do you do that from your perspective?
You know, there's two places in the project planning process where the creativity really comes in. One is the initial project plan, which basically a lot of times we do it the way we've always done it. But then when your project plan's approved and you're executing, crisis usually hits. Mm-hmm. You know, a vendor craps out or a part breaks or a contractor gets sick or somebody quits and there all of a sudden your deadline is in jeopardy. And teams, you know, a lot of people are afraid to go tell stakeholders that we can't do this. And a lot of response when they do is just go do it. We live in a just go do it mentality society.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a point at which you can't get blood out of a stone.
Mm-hmm.
So I teach teams how to create what I call options papers, where they brainstorm together what they can do to rectify the situation. And one option may be to cancel the project, because it may be going the wrong way. One option may be to extend the deadline. But the other thing is to kind of do it in the parameters of time, cost, and quality that they've already set to. Mm-hmm. And so they're amazed that when I make them really look at what they can do, there's a lot of silence. There's a lot of, this is the way we've always done it. We're really in trouble now. But then all of a sudden somebody says, well, I don't know. This might sound like a crazy idea, but what if? And then someone says, yeah, and I know we did this on this other project. We might be able to do that here. And all of a sudden, the synergistic effect comes in where they're bouncing off each other. And what I call collective wisdom comes in.
Yeah.
And they think of ideas that they never would have done alone. And they put these in a presentation format. They offer some, you know, 2 to 4 options to stakeholders. Future resolution, future focus, not blame game from the past, finger pointing. And they get their stakeholders to decide which path do you want us to go down. And they rectify their plan. Hmm. It's magic. It's absolutely magic to watch happen.
Our guest is Susan Junda. Her company, Dynamic Solutions, the website www.dynamicsolutionsnm, as in New Mexico, where she's located, .com. DynamicSolutionsNM.com. It sounds like magic. Does this stuff work for smaller entrepreneurial types of environments? I mean...
It's really interesting because people ask me what industry I work in, and people are people. So this is a people-based business.
All right.
And I don't care if you're working on the work or you're working on our relationships. It all comes down to people. And so I've worked in major organizations where I don't really go in there with the intention of changing their culture totally. But I can help work with a department. within a big corporation. I've also worked in companies of 10, 12 people. And what we did there was we changed the way they did their business, and we created a vision for what they wanted to create and a plan on how to get there. And what's interesting is that when you start really getting serious about changing your business practices, it is an organization culture change. And how long does it take to change an organization's culture? Most people just roll their eyes and say 2 to 4 years, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but it is possible if you create a compelling vision. So what we did with this smaller group was create that vision. And what I found in larger companies and smaller, the people who eventually don't get on the bandwagon quit. Which really is good overall, because they didn't support the vision in the first place. They didn't want to change.
Right.
And so when I coach organizations into becoming more organized, small or big, it's you have to create a compelling vision, understand it's at least a 2-year process, take action steps in a 3 to 6 months range, get some wins in it, and communicate ad nauseum to your people about what's in it for them. Why are we doing this? What's in it for you? How's it going to be different 2 years from now?
Yeah.
And why are we doing this?
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is, and people who don't buy into it eventually leave. And that's probably better for everybody.
In those companies, I would imagine it's even more horizontal. Is that true or not necessarily? In the small, the smaller micro enterprise, or, you know, 10, 12 employees?
Oh, yeah. They're all kind of equals.
So they can all sit in a room together,
right,
and get a shared vision?
Oh, yes.
Is that how that works?
Oh, that's what we did. But it was when I worked with this one group, we did personality tests.
Yeah.
And one of the women who had been there for 17 years, they had no turnover for the last 12 years in this company. Everybody had been there a long time. Small company.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one woman who had been there 17 years, and she came out very extreme on the personality test and wasn't easy to convince to change. And we kept moving and we kept going, and eventually she left the company.
Wow.
And the owner was a nice guy, didn't want to fire anybody, you know, but knew there was an issue there. She was kind of like holding them all back. And he was so relieved that he didn't have to be the one to get rid of her. And he
right.
called me and thanked me like I did something, but it was
right.
the process
right.
itself.
Right. You just facilitated
yes.
this process
right.
that was really organically
right.
brewing
right.
anyway,
right.
wasn't it?
You bet.
We're visiting with Susan Junda, the company Dynamic Solutions. That's her company. They do consulting, training, and coaching to organizations and companies. And we're talking about a wide range of issues that come up with project management and team building. You have some curriculum focus areas that you use when you go in and consult. And I'm looking at a list of a couple of those. The essentials of project management, I thought it'd be useful to just kind of walk through each one. So the essentials of project management, how does that work?
Okay, that's where I teach people the basics and the methodology and how to plan a project. And I don't care what project it is, construction, IT, engineering, marketing, supply chain, whatever you want to do, any project should be able to use the same process. And I was fortunate to come out of a major organization that did have really good project planning processes, so that no matter what you managed, the methodology was the same. And so I teach a methodology, and I do it by having them take fictitious projects and plan them within the team environment. I'm a big proponent about getting and building commitment. Now, you mentioned the word team building, and team building and team development are two things to me.
Okay. So we should draw that distinction.
Yes.
And differentiate.
I want to draw that distinction. Team building to me is a rah-rah, sis, boom, bah day.
Okay.
Go away on a weekend, go to a retreat, go climb the ropes, go raft the rapids, whatever you do. And I ask people, you have a great time. When you get back to work on Monday, how long does it take to get back to status quo? And I see it a lot of eye rollers, you know, 30 minutes, 3 hours, half a day, whatever. So team building is an event.
Okay.
Team development takes place over time.
Mm-hmm.
And the groups that I've seen really change their dynamics, pay attention to the dynamics, and usually bring me in once or twice a month, even for half a day, to help them work on new skill sets so they can communicate better, resolve conflict better, delegate better, negotiate better. And so then when crisis hits, they have that tool set to rely on. And so what happens in this project planning process and the essentials of project management, when your team is working together to plan the project, it is a team development process. Because they will go into conflict, and they're going to have to learn how to resolve it. When I have a team that the team manager that says, oh, my team just dynamics are terrible, no one's talking, and everyone's hating each other, and this and that, the first thing I say is, do you have a project plan for your work? Because if you have a bona fide plan that everybody's marching to, half if not all your team issues will go away, because we're not guessing what people are doing. We don't have these unspoken expectations of people. It's all laid out and roadmapped across time on the wall. And I mean literally on the wall. So, and if you're still having problems after that, yes, we help you with the how to deal with those things.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I love this. All right, so senior management overview would be the next.
Yes, what happens in most of the times I come in and I train the troops, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know, they push it down to the grassroots level, and I love working with the people doing the work. And the feedback is senior management needs to take this class. They have no clue what they're asking us to do. They don't know enough about what project management really is.
Okay.
It's more than just getting the work done. And so I've developed, you know, anywhere from a 1 to 3 day thing where to take senior management through what their people just went through, mm-hmm. but I also can shorten it and I give them more of a broad overview on their responsibilities on how to set up an organization to make it easy to do projects successfully. Mm-hmm. Because they don't realize what they own. You know, there should be a methodology on how to change project plans. There should be a methodology on how to report status. There should be a methodology on how to manage risk. Not every team should be trying to figure out how to do that. There should be a way that all your functional managers allocate resources to teams. You know, those are the bigger picture things try to talk to them about because the project manager's busy. They just need to keep going. They don't need the red tape and the bureaucracy. And you can take some of that away for them.
Okay. The essentials of project team. Now, this is membership.
Yes. How to be a project team, good project team member. It's amazing when you look at the skill sets of a good functional employee and then look at the good skill sets of a good team member. They're very, very different. And people just think people should know how to be a team member organically. And it's not necessarily organic in people. Because number one, if you're an individual contributor, you're used to doing it on your own. The deadlines aren't that tight. You got a lot of flexibility. You don't have to bounce things off of people. You don't have to fit your work into others and on and on and on. So we teach them on some good team membership skills in addition to teaching them the process of project planning. So when the leader comes in and says, let's do a work breakdown structure. Let's put this into a logic network. Let's do a resource matrix. They know what they're talking about. The other thing that comes up with team membership is the torn allegiances between my boss and my project managers. You know, and how am I going to get reviewed? And how do I talk to my boss when I have too much on my plate? And I'm more aligned with the project manager and their goals than I am with my boss. But how do I get my boss to let me work on this more? You know, there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. So that's what, that class is a 1 to 2 day, 1.5 to 2 day class.
All right, and then you also have a class, the essentials of project team leadership.
Yeah.
That's more
the team dynamics side. That will teach basically a project manager what they have to do as far as basically communicating throughout the project life cycle. And that's what's not taught. If anything, they get take MS Project or they take some software class. And just because they take a software class doesn't mean they're a good project manager. Just because they become certified doesn't mean they're a good project manager. And so this teaches them more about communication skills, conflict resolution skills, delegation, because most technical people do not know how to give the work away. They do too much. And then what happens to the team is they're hogging all the good work. They give us all the crap work. They never let us see the big picture. And, so this really dysfunctional relationship comes on between the control freak project manager. So we teach that. We also teach about through the life cycle how you communicate with stakeholders. How do you interview them to get a good project definition? Because a lot of the smoothness and execution has to do with a good definition to start out with. So what questions do you ask your stakeholders to get the unspoken, unconscious needs out? Because the better you do the definition, your planning should be a breeze. Okay, so the better you plan, the execution should be a breeze.
Yeah,
if you don't plan, because I ask people, how many of you have project plans for every project you're managing? Rarely does anyone raise their hand. And it's like, well, how do you sleep at night if you don't have that? You know, juggling all these balls, hoping and praying nothing slips through the cracks? That is reactive project management. It's not proactive.
Yeah.
Okay, so we teach some of the softer skills there, and I really like doing that course too.
Yeah, and then finally, we have this is about team spirit.
Yes.
Creating and sustaining team spirit is called.
Team spirit is a model of team development that was developed by a colleague of mine called Barry Herman in the mid-90s, and it goes way beyond the forming, storming, norming model because it's multidimensional, and it really creates a compelling vision, has you working at the organization level, the team level, and the membership level. So sometimes when I work in team development, I use this model because it's a a place everybody can come together and talk to once they learn it. You know, and where are you? Like, for example, a team could be in the celebration mode because we just did something great, but I may not be in the celebration mode. I might be in the having to let go mode because I'm mad at you because you screwed me on that, even though we won and we got it. Yeah. I have unresolved issues. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they talk about that on how to let go of that, how to have, deal with withheld communication, how to finally talk and let it go. That means you don't bring it up again. You know, other people might have claiming issues where they don't know who's doing what. And that's where project management works very well in parallel with the team spirit model, because you do have to claim your roles on the project. Well, project management is a great way to do that. So they work in conjunction with each other.
Very cool. Thank you so much for joining us. Our guest has been Susan Junda. Dynamic Solutions is the company. www.dynamicsolutionsnm.com. If your small business is in need of some tuning, we know Susan can help with that. Thanks. We'll do it again.
Small Biz America. The Brain.